Fumble through!
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely. Not for very much longer. Cause I've got to take control. I remember doing the fumble through.
I was enraptured. That's like my favorite song.
Yeah. We are a podcast with the devil's eyes. You ruined my flow then. Nobody jumped in. I said, fumble through, and then only Luke did it.
Sorry.
It was there. That also was, if anyone plays Framed, the online game that gives you six pictures of a movie, that was the movie of today as well. It's a bit of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That is a song. What Time Warp.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
What? The Rocky. Nah, I've seen that live on stage. That's fine.
You say that like we're not going to believe you, but you haven't seen The Princess Bride.
Yeah, one film.
There's plenty of things that we talk about that you haven't seen. Have you seen Escape from New York?
Yeah.
Escape from LA?
Yeah.
Escape from Alcatraz?
No.
The Great Escape?
Yes.
I'm just naming escape movies.
But yeah, the Time Warp.
Is that it? The Rock. There you go.
Planet of Escapes.
Between a rock. anyway, that was a good opening. Fell short. In my head, that was amazing. We all danced. Yeah, yeah. So what do you love the most about the Time Warp? Lindsay, we've cut you off four times.
The Time Warp is like the song I request at every... You know when they send you that thing saying, what song would you like to play us to play at our wedding?
Yeah.
Always a Time Warp.
Do you do the dance?
Yeah.
Do you do, like, all of the dance?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And what?
I always also wear fishnets under my pants, just come off. They're always Velcro.
No. My days. I don't need that image in my head.
Well, then people can see his Frankenfurter.
Lindsay in fishnets. No, thanks. Oi.
Oi, vey.
Lindsay, you're the reason I drink at weddings.
Yeah, it's the it's doing the thrust that is the real issue.
You're not helping. You're really not helping.
It's not dance moves. It's a step to the jump to the left, a step to the right, bring your knees in tight, and shake it like
no. And then a pelvic thrust.
Yeah, I've got this really
drive you in. Say yeah.
I've got this really low grade gif in my brain now. That's Lindsay in fishnets thrusting. Yeah.
Just arms back and forward like he's got a wheelbarrow.
That's never going away.
Like Mr. Bean, Dynamite in fishnets.
Mr. Bean trying to open a bottle.
Yeah, I'll stop. You're fleshing the detail out far too much for me now, thank you.
Fleshing. Like the flesh that's in between my fishnets.
Incidentally, I have to say, somebody showed me the other day, you know the movie Dune?
Yeah.
So
The new ones.
Yeah. So as part of cinema release, you can get popcorn buckets and the lid is the worm's mouth.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, I'll tell you what it looks like. Ends in light.
Yeah. With teeth.
And it's coloured as flesh.
In the dark, you can tell your girlfriend that it is the worm when it's sitting on your lap. Grab some popcorn, love.
Yeah, do it without rhythm.
It'll go longer.
Wouldn't you stick your hand in it and then not be able to get it out?
I'll see if I can find it for you later.
Yeah. I know which one. I have seen it as well, but I just feel like I saw it and I'm like, you'd have to take the lid off because you'd stick your hand in and then you wouldn't be able to get it out through the teeth. Or the popcorn would come out.
Then Boba Fett comes out because it looks like a Sarlacc.
Yeah.
It certainly did look like a Sarlacc.
So, anyway, moving forwards with talking in unison shit, I'm good at speak.
So, I did my first edit in a long, long time on Sunday night and we were pretty good last episode. There wasn't much editing to do. I don't have that confidence today.
Look.
And there's one.
Yep. Choked on
I mean, when we were recording it, it was like, this is gold. I felt like it was like, this just.
Last constant. Week.
Yeah.
Last week was great.
Yeah.
Like, literally four edits in the whole thing. Today, we've already got like 12.
Imagine how many edits I'd do.
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty excited about life in general at the moment. I found out today that apparently kids of this generation, I don't know. If
what's it called? What's this generation called?
This generation as in our generation.
I'm talking about my generation. But people
Boomer.
Are people are calling phases of life eras. So it's like, I'm in my era. I'm in my this era. I'm in my that era, like your Fleabag era or your flop era or your bitch era or your slutty era or whatever. It's a, I guess it's a way of rebranding oneself and moving on to the next bit so that you can reinvent yourself, because kids right now, I guess, aren't so pushed into different envelopes or different little pockets.
They're not as monotone anymore.
Yeah, there's a mishmash of cultures. So they move from era to era to era. So, you know, you might go from, you know, from, I guess, into my goth era, into my grunge era, into my metal era, all of that kind of stuff. But I thought, wouldn't it be an interesting thing if you described what era you were in your life right now?
Well, aren't we all in the same one? We're in the fumble through era?
No, I'm in my balding era, I think.
Your balding era? Mm. What is that era? Describe the era that is the balding era.
It's just losing my hair.
Yeah, but there's got to be something else. Like,
are you losing your hair from everywhere?
Sadly, no. My nostril hair is going off.
Well, how are the wizards?
If I could turn my nostrils inside out and transplant them to my head, I'd be absolutely sorted.
You are not losing it. It's migrating to other places of your person.
I am convinced at some point I'm going to be able to do a comb over from my eyebrows. The wizard hairs on my eyebrows are immense. When the yep. hairdresser comes past, doesn't even have to ask you, but gets the comb the and then clippers your eyebrows. You're like, yeah. Oh, I'm that guy. Yeah, I'm that guy.
I take that one step further, and it's a number three on the side, scissors on top, and a number two on the eyebrows, please.
Yeah. And when they say side, I mean the side of my torso. Yeah.
I was going to say it, a grade two on the shoulders.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So what is the balding era?
No, I was being flippant with that. Give me a minute to think of something actually right. serious.
Has anyone got an era that they think they're
in? Yeah, I do. Yeah. I think I'm in the me era. I think there was a whole period where I was about work and trying to find my place in a career. Yeah. And then there was a family moment where it was about family and setting a family up. And I think after last year's experience, and it's not excluding those things, but it's about me going, where am I best placed for me? Mm-hmm. And how can I meet the world that has more fulfillment for my life?
Okay.
It's a me era.
Oh, I like that.
Nice.
That's good. What about you, Lindsay?
Fuck off out of my house.
Yeah, I want to be alone.
Mine's nowhere near that fun. I'm going through a lot of changes at the moment with the young children.
Menopause.
Yeah, that anxiety and all that kind of stuff. So mine, I feel like, is the struggling to survive era. So
you're the new daddy era. Like, that's the...
But other than that, yeah, I pretty much... All our free time is fumble through, so I kind of do like the fumble through era as like a sub era.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the struggling to survive in that as well.
And talk to us about the struggling to survive. What elements are you, like, you're not struggling to breathe because your asthma is so bad.
No, not quite.
But what is it? What elements?
Is it time?
It's a bit of everything.
Is it energy?
Yeah, I do a lot of things. So like I'm at the gym now, right? Which is...
Oh, you got time for the fucking gym, but you're complaining about time.
Well, I'm doing that on my lunch break at work, right?
I'm kidding.
So, I do that, but then I'm knackered.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I've got things I want to do, like the podcast or even just playing some games, and I run out of time. So, time's an issue. As I said, mental health, I don't know. My mental health's fucking weird. I don't know why I'm stressed off. My anxiety's just started picking up again this week.
Right.
I have no idea why.
Recording?
No.
Is it seeing me?
Maybe. But like...
Sorry, that's what I meant by recording.
Yeah.
But no, it's like something happens. Like whenever I have my anxiety attacks issues, it's like there comes a phase where I have to figure out what is causing my anxiety this time and then...
Right.
Deal with that. So
is it something new? Like, do you have recurrence of things that trigger it, or you can identify it, kind of fix it and move on? Is that
you rolling for a
That was just the sweat on my arm. I was like,
I didn't know what that sound was. It sounded like a wet fart.
I thought he was doing a medicine check.
I leant on a D20 and I'm so sweaty. Yeah. It just stuck to my arm.
Yes. But is this something that are there things that just stick, or do you D20s. Think that there's different things that play on your mind and then you have strategies and you can address those things and they kind of disappear somewhat?
Yeah, it's kind of... I address whatever the issue is, but it's trying to figure out what it is because I must bottle it up. So,
yeah.
Well, because when you've talked to me before, part of it wasn't it's one thing. It's never one thing. It's an accumulation of a bunch of things that pile on.
That's usually what
And the last thing that gives you the anxiety attack isn't the thing that is causing the anxiety. It's all the things that it's laying on top of.
Pretty much.
Is it?
Yeah, that's $200.
Is it though that you are stressed around time? Like, given that you're not having the release time for yourself, are you taking time to be Lindsay and to relax?
That is probably it, because even when I'm I end up playing Power World, I then go, oh, I should have been doing all this podcast stuff I wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I should have been painting these minis I wanted to do to post social. So it could be that, I'm not letting myself just relax.
Do you think that playing games, this is something I've come to the realization, playing games doesn't help me relax. It helps me pass time, but I don't know that I come out of that going, I feel nourished, I feel rejuvenated, and I feel like I've spent good time.
Depending on the game, I do.
Okay. Yeah.
I get a good release out of Power now and I'm like, you fucking do that work. Yeah, that's right. No back chat.
Oh, I think we're seeing some deeper understanding here. So, okay. Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that you're having your anxiety. And if there's anything that our listeners can do to help, because I know I fucking won't, there's no chance that I'm any help to you. I'll be like, they're there.
You know what?
They're there, Lindsay.
Listeners, if you want to help me, share our podcast. Get us some more listens. So I can quit my actual job and become a full-time podcaster. That'd be pretty relaxing.
Would it?
I don't know.
I wouldn't.
I think I'd enjoy it more.
We'd enjoy the challenge of it, but I reckon it'd be as stressful if not. Yeah.
I've started to feel some anxiety recently when you two have been talking about Lindsay having a release.
Coupled with the fishnets.
Yeah.
And no time. Okay, Luke, circle back. Where are you, Baldy? Oh,
era. I don't know. I guess...
you're not balding, by the way.
No, I am a little bit, but I guess the era of awareness of my own mortality.
Is it also the era of awareness of not using your microphone properly?
That's right. What's wrong with that? I just my hands are by the side of my mouth, not on my mouth. Yes, my own mortality. So a few years back with the heart situation I went through, having to wrestle with that and the prospect of the increased risk of heart attack and all that sort of stuff, and getting the blood cholesterol down and family history, and then having a 1-year-old and having those kind of ideas of like, well, am I going to be there for when he's 20 kind of thing, those sorts of questions, I guess, very ponderous on that sort of stuff, very ponderous indeed.
Can I probe into that a little bit.
Release and
you
probe.
You can penetrate as much as you like.
All right. I just want to get to the point.
Yeah.
We're just popping into the microphone just to annoy you. Because I've been thinking about my mortality. Now, I know we're getting older. I'm older than you guys are. Brett's ancient. But the whole idea of that is that when I was in my 20s, I didn't think of it, number one, because it was so distant away, I guess. But also, I don't know that I had as much to live for. Mm. You know, like you just said, that's a big concern for you because you've got something to live for. You've got things to look forward to, and there's life. Like, you know, in my 20s, I felt quite fulfilled in some respects that I was like, okay, I'm okay. And then the more life opened up, I was like, fuck, I don't know shit. And, you know, the world has so much more to offer than I know. Is that part of it?
Yeah, a little bit, I guess. But I guess the main thrust of it is recently going back to the UK and things like that, and seeing people that you've just like my nan, just it's been there forever, and like she's 97 now, and then seeing how frail and old she actually is now, and then seeing my parents and how they're struggling to get around with certain things, and, you know, certain people that were around over the years that passed away, and just all of a sudden, like, we're reaching that age where those sorts of things are starting to happen, and then reflecting on your own situation, mm-hmm. and then thinking like, well, you know, like you say, like back in your 20s, but even in your 30s, you just don't even think about it. You're too busy off doing your thing and having a good time, and, you know, consequences be damned and stuff like that. I will have that second cheeseburger, and now all of a sudden all that stuff's kind of caught up with you, and you're like,
I'll add a burger after my brisket.
yeah, exactly. But, you know, even so, like the reason I ate half of that burger on the situation you're talking about was because there was a snap of reality. It was like, this is not good for me. This has a consequence.
No, it's because when we went out for brisket that night, we filled ourselves up on chips. You and I were eating chips because your chips didn't come. And then I went and got some more chips. True. And then we filled up, which was a mistake.
Yeah.
We should have filled up
that
on brisket.
That was valuable meat space.
Yeah, that was valuable meat space. That was valuable cholesterol space. Yeah.
That's what she said.
Brett didn't have that problem at all. Chips, no. Meat, in the just there was space.
Yeah. No, and the difference there is you've pulled back, but with regret, I've stepped into the space and embraced it. And
the whole space.
I think there's a thing, like, because I had some of that. I think I've had what you had last year when a good friend of mine passed away, and it was like, oh, fuck, my age and dead. Fuck. Mm. And then it didn't help immediately, but it helped after I thought about it for a while. There's a quote from, I think it's the Dalai Lama, that went, well, is there something you can do about it? Yes. Well, then do it. And what are you worried about? Or no. Well, then what are you worried about? Like, that's really, really freeing to go, well, either you, and the regret comes from if you can do something and you don't, not if you can't do anything, because you're fucking released from that anyway.
Yeah.
And I can't do anything about getting old. I can do anything about something about the shape of me getting older, but time has, I have no control over.
The shape of you. That Ed Sheeran song.
And so I'm working on a larger part of the shape of me.
Can I ask you a question? Because knowing you for as long as I have, when you were in your 20s, you went through a near-death experience and you had a open heart surgery. And you
closed
heart. Your heart's closed off now, but did that play at all back then? Like, did you actually think about mortality at that time, or were you still indestructible in your mind?
Well, no, I think there was a thing of, it wasn't immediately impactful. It was about me thinking about the future, and I think it just ramped up the, I'm never going to get to 40. If I'm this close to death at 20, then take all the fucking risks you want, buddy, because there's no future in you. Mm-hmm. Go for it. Go for broke. So I would do things like, and I think I might have spoken about this, at work, climb off scaffolding and climb across RSJ girders in a theatre that's 8-10 metres off the ground with no safety harness, with nothing, and not feel scared about that because there was no consequence for me. And it's now when I think about it, I shit myself. But then in the moment, it was like, well, you know, there's you're not going to make 40. You're not going to, wasn't thinking about family at that point. I was thinking about career.
You genuinely thought you were going to make 40.
Yeah. 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 It's like, climb the scaffold, do the thing, lick the electrical cord, whatever.
I know electrical cord, and he's a very nice guy.
But, like, seriously, it was like, I don't think I'm going to fall off a scaffolding before I get to an age where I will feel old. So, suck the marrow out of life now. Do all the things you want to do. Don't get held back. And now that I'm over 50, I'm like, well, fuck. I really fucked that, didn't I? I really didn't lay down the groundwork. I have had a family. I haven't put the effort into what it will be like when I get older. But fuck, I look backwards and I'm like, that was good. I had the best time. And I don't regret a moment of it.
Well, you can't change experience. Like, you and I almost had almost the polar opposites of that era. Like, I became an old man very early in my life, and you became, like, you were quite free. So, I remember looking at you going, that dude loves his job. That dude's doing the thing he loves. He's pursuing the thing he loves. He knows. Whereas I was like, I don't know what I want to do. I'll just meander. You know, I'll do the expectation. You know, I'll live the bewitched life, or the, you know, that kind of 60s.
But mine was a life without consequence, and yours was a life full of safety, I think, and, you know, consequences for the future.
Yeah. I had consequences because I was in a long-term relationship for a very long time.
Well,
still are, right?
Still are. Yeah, still are. 33 years this year.
Yeah. But, like, I lived like none of that had consequence. I didn't buy a house. I never saved for a deposit. And I was talking to a friend who bought a house back then, and he's like, you know, he's paying less on his mortgage now than I pay in rent right now. And I'm like, fuck.
I think we probably all do that, Brett.
Right, yeah. But like, I think back and I go, well, I screwed the pooch financially. I'm screwed financially and I've got nothing to leave for my kids. And, you know, I do have an issue when I get old. I've got some serious financial problems when I get older. Why do I want to live for that? Fuck it. Let's find a scaffolding.
But are we the generation that is going to leave things for our kids? This is the more and more I think about this, the more I'm like, are we really, like, I look at my kids now and I'm like, there is no way that you can buy a house. Mm. Like, somebody in our life, like, it's almost like the queen dying and the king being made. Someone has to die for my kids to have a house. Mm. Like, there has to be an inheritance or an empty house that nobody needs.
The maths is different. When we were growing up, the house was 5 times your wage. Now it's 15 times your wage. That growth is insane. Absolutely insane.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So, and I think maybe there's part of that that's like, well, if I can't help that, and, you know, you watch this generation of kids going, well, I'm just going to rent and party it down because I can't afford that. It's so unattainable. I'm going to live for the moment and live for the now. And I worry about that because I am a stress and I am at heart, I live in the 1920s.
I think that's a very particular Australian dream of owning a house and having a backyard and mowing the lawn on the weekend. I think that's a very particular Australian dream. You go to New York and you rent and you save 20% of your wage every week for your future, and it's about, you know, how you manage your cash flow. You go to London and there's a huge amount of people who aren't owning their own homes. So it's a particular Australian dream that's been sold to us when we were growing up, that was the thing you needed. You come here, you buy a house, you earn, you work all your life to pay off your house so you can give it to your kids. And that's your inheritance. Where for me, it's actually my inheritance is now. It's what I leave for my kids now. If I can move in with my kids, then I've done the right thing. If they are success. Like, I look at my parents and I go, I don't need your inheritance. I don't need you to give me shit.
That's right.
Because you've done your job. By the time I left the house, you've done your job. I was absolutely self-sufficient. I knew my life. I knew who I was. I knew how to, not financially plan, but everything else is pretty good. I'm okay.
There were gaps, but we're good.
But we're okay. I'm a pretty cool human, I think, and my parents did their job. I don't need the cash to round me out.
But is that what's going to happen? Like, you know, I think about the thing. You've got 3 kids, Luke. Mm. I've got 3 kids. Lindsay, you got 2. Brett's got 2.
I know of.
I kind of think to myself, like, there's going to be a time when I would rather spend that time with them, and I don't know how much I can, you know, like you said, it's not the house that I think about. It's the legacy. Mm. It's the money to say. And I know that the generation previous to us, so like my in-laws, my parents are all about, you know, the cash. We've got this amount of money. We're going to leave you this. We've got something that we've built up. And just rightly so, they were in the right spot where they bought a house for 20 grand and now it's worth $1 million. And that's going to be really great. But I don't want to see any of that money. I want my children to see that money so they can have something that they build for the future. The question that I've got now is looking at my mum. I want to go on a holiday with her because I'm like, I don't want your money when you're dead. I want to experience life with you now. And maybe that's something I'm looking at my kids going, I'm going to force you to spend time with me before I become senile.
That's the way to go.
Yeah. And you're going to resent it, but then you're going to remember those times and then you're going to feel really sad when I go because you were an asshole during that period of time. Stuff. They are teenagers.
I think you're right. I look back because Dad passed away.
What?
And it was a while ago now, Justin.
That's so bad. Just demonstrating he's got the same problem as Dad had.
We haven't found a way to tell you until now, Justin. Dad passed away, and I thought, like, I thought about what that meant, and he had worked his ass off all his life. He changed jobs late in his life, so he got a better career, and all of it was for us. Like, it was about family for him. And then he had 1 year of retirement, and then it was all gone. He was sick and he couldn't enjoy his life anymore, and then he passed. And I'm like, what's the fucking point of that? Getting to 65, working your ass off so you can enjoy the latter years of your life when your body's fucked. Do it now.
What makes you think he didn't enjoy himself in those years?
I think he loved being with family, but he had this ideal of, I'm working to get the kids off, move them out of the house, buy a caravan, and then we're going to spend years traveling around Australia. And they had this dream about that, and they did 3/4 of the first year, and then he was sick, and they had to pull the pin. So I know that dream was a in terms of a life plan. They didn't get their outcome of the kind of the hard work that they had banked.
Yeah.
They got, and you know, I don't think they regret a thing, and they've got three beautiful boys and grandkids they love, and their life is, mum's life is amazing.
He included himself in those three beautiful boys.
I did. So, fuck. But I go, I remember my dad, I don't remember that for him. I remember playing when I was in high school, table tennis with him at night in the garage for years, and you know, and I remember what was probably a 20-minute match feeling like 3 hours. I remember going with him and playing billiards at the RSL pool hall when I was very, very young. I have those memories of spending time with my dad doing inane shit, jumping on the back of his motorbike and going for a ride, and it was just the two of us. I remember the moments where it was just the two of us, and that's the bit that I want to share with my kids, because that's what I think is cool, not the thing I'm going to give. That, you know, there's nothing my dad can leave for me that would be better than any of those memories. So do it now. Do it. Do it while you can. Don't regret what you're doing now. Do it now.
Yeah, I heard a statistic the other day that apparently you spend 90% of the time you're ever going to spend with your kids by the time they're 18 or 19.
Really?
Which is really interesting to me. Like, that's, you know.
Well, because they fly the nest.
You've, like, by the time they're 12 or something, you've spent 60% of the time that you'll spend with them. And then the rest, like, you know, and I'm watching my kids get older. I'm spending less and less time with them. The quality time probably increases because we're doing activities and stuff, because they don't need me and they're living their own lives. It's great to see, but that life slowly cuts its little cord from the parents and they flow the coop and all that kind of stuff. So it is something that I go, that's the time that is the most important for that, if you like your kids. Now, I like 2 out of 3 of my kids. It depends which one on any given day.
Yeah.
Or moment.
It's so any given day, one of them's giving you the shits, is what you're saying.
Yep.
You know, time, money, or humans. People, you can have one of your kids, you can't have all of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
That's right. So
I think kids absolutely epitomize the law of diminishing return.
Someone said to me once, the teenage years is God's way of making sure you don't miss them when they're gone. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
I thought that was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
So anyway, Lindsay, what era is the podcast in right now in our social media, in the world of socials?
Well, I've only just started back up at it for the new year, but we're in the year of growth. So we're going to the goal for this year is to grow as a podcast. Both in social numbers and...
Shouldn't that have been the goal every year?
Okay, Mr. does nothing but shows up to record.
Hey, I've done some growth over the podcast years. I'm more cubic than I ever used to be.
So, yes, make sure you follow us on Instagram, TikTok. I haven't done TikTok for a while. I should do a TikTok. Forgot about TikTok.
Like social media stuff.
Yeah, Facebook. You know,
cool.
Say hi.
Yeah.
So that brings us back to the thing that we're all here for, the game. It's so hot in here that my brain is shutting down and I'm going to go into some kind of relapse.
I feel like it kind of works atmospherically because it's now really musty, just like the library we're in.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, who wants to give us a recap? That was where I was going. So thank you, Lindsay, for volunteering.
Oh, well, you were in a library and we just got. Well, I personally got my ass handed to me.
Do you remember what was inside of the library?
Yes, one second.
Books.
Good. Books is one thing.
The container for the key was in here, and it was surrounded by some
soul
mirrors.
Slivers.
Soul slivers were they? They're mirror people.
Yeah. Yes.
And explode
Silver
on
surfers.
Explode on destruction, much they like do. A Draconian in Dragonlance.
Ah, yes. Yes, but not with acid and fire and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was a poorly thought throughout comfy. You could have.
And fire that you're immune to. Yeah, so you find yourselves in the Sky Key, the chamber of the Sky Key, but the Sky Key
is gone.
Is gone. You have cleared out these soul slivers, but you've also done so at some cost to yourselves, because I think it wasn't just you that took some damage, was it, Miles? It was, Reg, did you cop some?
No, evasion.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Half, that's right. It was mostly from the explosions that you
I got hit a couple of times.
The fire, wasn't it?
No, but he just freaking
just mashed you.
Wrecked me.
Yeah.
I ran away before the explosions.
Tia got hit a few times by the explosions. Flopsy, thank God, was out of range because he would not have held up.
A glass chin
he
soul.
He would not have held up.
Yeah, Tia's like, oh, whatever.
Tia's not even at half
Shake
health.
It off.
Flopsy would have been dead, dead.
Is Tia's half health more than Flopsy's full health?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very telling about how good barbarians are in this game.
She's not a barbarian.
Is she not?
She wears plate.
Fighter 4.
Oh, wow. That's why barbarians are bad in 5th edition.
There's no way I was coming from that 5th edition fuck-up barbarian to a barbarian back
you,
into
you
this
You made
game.
Her before we played.
I know, but there was no way I was coming back to another barbarian.
Oh, so she was a barbarian before, huh?
No.
Oh, okay, right.
It's a good story, right? Right,
yeah,
no,
so,
not a barbarian.
So you're at a point. Now, you shut down the tapestry, so the tapestry no longer has a rend inside
Correct.
It.
Correct, you're welcome.
You came here, you found the Aramzay's body with the notes to shut down the tapestry. So you've done that part of the job, but the last part of that job, it was find Aramzay because he's got the thing, shut down the tapestry, find the Sky Key. The Sky Key. It's not here.
It's
you
possible.
Do not have key.
It may have fallen into a rift of time and or space.
True, but remember the...
You're right there.
Yeah.
You got a little bit of something on your chin. It blood on your chin there.
Yeah, sorry. Remember that ghost guy?
No.
There was a ghost in the rift and he said...
Oh.
He said something about don't take the key to the tapestry.
Oh, right.
So maybe the key was already taken to the tapestry, or whoever stole the key is going to take the key to the tapestry.
Interesting hypotheses.
I'm going to drink some potions.
Tia is going to line up with you, lay out the potions on the counter, chug them all down.
Do you need one? Or you got some?
Tia's cool.
Oh, cool.
How many potions does it take, just out of interest? So, getting to the not, I don't need you to roll them, but I just want to know how. Sorry, I need you to roll them, but not on air. But I just want to know how many potions it actually takes, because that'll give us an idea of how. Because you don't roll shit like me. How many? How actual damage you were?
Well, I'm gonna have to roll them to see. I can tell you my damage if you want.
No. I just want to know at the end of this how many there were. So, Reg, are you doing anything in particular while that's happening? So these two have lined up potions and they're starting to heal themselves up.
No, I'm good.
And what about Flopsy? Because Flopsy's the other person that's in this chamber.
Flopsy's probably going to take one potion himself. And then it's books.
Just can we have a little look around?
Yeah, you can definitely have a look around.
Oh, wow.
Chamber.
I seem to have jammed my fingers in my eyes with a one on the perception tech.
Yeah. It is bookshelves. These bookshelves probably are more exotic in nature or probably older. This is the more, probably the fancier part of the library. So you've got your first edition books in here. You've got your leather bound tomes. You've got some of the things that you're probably not going to find in the rank and file section of the chambers because they don't want everybody touching that. And that's why they've got a big velvet rope cordoning it off, which is very important. You start looking around.
Hang on.
Yep.
Three rolls it took me.
Okay.
2 8s and a 5.
Okay.
Flopsy got the 5. Tia got the 2 8s.
Oh, nice.
That's a bingo bingo.
Nice. Yeah. Flopsy, you find probably, you know, I guess, how sticky are your fingers?
Flopsy will grab what he can grab.
Yeah, so there's probably a few different books that you're like, oh, I like the sound of that. And you're like, oh, you know, the Arcane Brotherhood. That sounds interesting. Oh. Or, you know.
Plane of Theory.
Yeah, those kinds of things. And you're like, you grab them for later. Not that you kind of.
Why are you calling him a for later?
You flick him through because his tail's very malleable.
Right.
But you flick through them and you're like, oh, this looks like some time could be spent on this kind of stuff. How much, Miles?
3 cure lights.
Oh.
And so I'm still not full health.
3 and 3. Okay.
Tears 2 down. Flopsy's all good.
Have you got no more left?
I have, but I'm not going to waste it on 2. I'm only 2 down. So.
Do you want a cure light?
They are.
With the wand?
Oh, we have the wand.
They are famous last words. I'm not that far down. I'm not going to waste
healing. Hit me with the wand then.
3.
Nice. Thank you.
If only this party had a healer.
It's too hot for things like that, Justin.
Damn.
Hot take.
So you're standing there when all of a sudden you hear like a... and a voice travels down the halls, carried as if it's like by a magical breeze that seems to pass through. So imagine someone running past you and they're like, "March, Lisa." And they're doing those kinds of things. But there's a full message and you hear, "Pathfinders, we have determined that the objectives in the Sky Reach are now secure and most of the Aspis Consortium forces have been neutralized. There has been further developments of which you may or may not be already aware. Aspis agents have made off with the Sky Key and attempt to be holding out in the tower floating above our lodge. Our early experiments with teleporting in or flying to it have met with no success, so I'm gathering our forces to enter through Arliss Hall, which has a permanent gateway to one of the tower rooms. However, the gateway is finicky. Our master of spells, Aramzay, would be better able to explain it than I, but he is currently indisposed due to the consortium attack.
We disposed of
him. Finish your business and gather outside the Arliss Hall for the final assault. I shall guide you from there. God speed, all of them.
Finicky.
It's
his way of saying shit.
We probably should get to that hall then. Just 5 minutes and just check this last bookshelf out and then we can head on off to the... what the hall... check this book out. This is interesting.
I think if we manage to take out this her thing.
Ah, you're in the H section, I see.
If we manage to get rid of this sky key back, I'm pretty sure they'll let you live in the library.
Really?
Maybe they'll be forever in your debt.
Harem Hall?
Harem Whore.
Harem's Whores.
Sounds like a lot of trouble.
Apparently, there's a faulty hole in the harem's horse.
All I can hear is caramel.
Right, let's go see this finicky hole.
I just want you to remind you, Justin, that if we level up, I level up a little bit quicker.
Yes, because you've remembered. I also have noted that you also remembered today, and I'm very impressed by your notes that you took today because there's some things I didn't think you'd remember, and you hit the nail on the head. So
does he level up?
No. You manage to find your way to Arliss Hall. Creighton Shane finishes giving instructions to one team before sending them into Arliss Hall and turning to greet you. "Ah, you received my message," he asks eagerly while pulling out a small notepad and making a single tally mark. "Excellent, excellent, excellent. I was wondering whether recent events might block communication as well. We have a theory that the Northwest Tower's new floating status may be the result of the Sky Key and the Haojin Tapestry coming too close to one another. Much like two extra-dimensional spaces placed inside one another. You know, well, kaboom and bang and all that kind of jazz. Thus far, all of our more conventional attempts to reach the tower have been repelled. And admittedly, the whole thing could just rocket into the Aurorium at any minute. You could all be in space and who knows? What an adventure would be passed." And he kind of squints for a moment for it and he says, but that would be unfortunate. As there's rather a big match over in the Aurorium today, with all the gladiators and stuff. But anyway, best we could control the tower before it misbehaves any further. The good news is that we have a permanent portal to that section of the tower that would, in theory, seem to work. Since the link is between two objects, a pair of full-length mirrors, it should be stable and, quote-unquote, safe to use. The only catch is that one of the mirrors is inside Arliss Hall, and the hall has several extra-dimensional properties, and with so many visitors, it's been changing its internal layout constantly. You know, it's always done that to cater for the people that are inside it, but the turmoil that we've got, the sky key, all of that kind of stuff, it just keeps moving around and nothing is the same. However, rather than waste time sending you to figure it out as a puzzle, because that would be a total waste of time, I will lead you to the portal myself. We venture captions are fairly used to all the changes, so if you would just like to step in time with me, is there anything you need to do before we leave?
I have a question.
Yes.
I heard when I was given a boon from the games earlier today that there was a person who was going to give a keynote address on the Sky Key. Do you know who that might be?
Yes, but look, the Sky Key keynote address has been otherwise perhaps postponed due to injury causing death.
Aram Zay, was that the keynote addressee?
Perhaps.
Poop.
I'm sorry to see him go. Look, we didn't know each other very well. He wasn't a very, how would we say? Anyway, don't speak ill of the person who is not here. Anyway, so is there anything that you need to do before we get on stage?
I'm out of spell slots, but if time is of the essence, let's get going.
Okay, and he kind of looks up and you can see the floating tower kind of shuddering a little bit, and it's kind of, usually the tower, imagine, like, you know those things that hold on top of magnets and the magnets hold them and they kind of float in the air magically in our world, and you can spin them and they spin in kind of a horizontal kind of manner. It is starting
to-
There
you go on there, science boy.
How's this working? I'm just about to say, you know it's not magic, right?
It is starting to tilt. So the sky tower is actually starting to shudder and sort of have some axis. And you're like, ooh, that does not look safe. Some of the stuff's crumbling off it right now. That's never happened before.
Do you have any, before we go, do you have any supplies for us, like scrolls of mage armor or anything like that?
No, we've kind of put all of those out there already. If you have not visited them, time is too late, I'm afraid.
Come on, let's go
to the Stargate.
All right, and you start moving. Crichton Shane opens the door for you, and he says, look, after you, when you come in here, just make sure that it might be a little disorienting. And he kind of steps up the big doors, opens the two doors that lead into Arliss Hall, and you guys enter. You turn around, and he seems to be gone.
What the fuck?
And the door seems to be shut. And you hear behind the door, of all the luck! We must have exceeded some capacity for limited this version of the hall and moved me over to another iteration of itself. Oh, jolly. Look, I will try to find my way over to you. But look for the mirror. It is in a private room that is reserved. Reserved. We will call it the lost room. That is what we usually call the lost room. The chamber will be hidden in plain sight, but there's always some kind of trick to find it. Hurry, and I will try to join you soon. But one last thing, rarely can anyone find the lost room alone. So each of you must play some kind of part, I guess, but I will just go and have a look.
You pathfinders really need to get your shit together.
It hasn't been our best day.
No. Bye.
Definitely not gold today. Come on, look around then.
And you find yourselves in a nice sitting room. Oh, yeah. The best way that I can describe this, and I was trying to think of a different way to describe this, is you are in Hogwarts. You know how Hogwarts, the shifting stairs, the sitting room, it's almost like you've gone into a dormitory at Hogwarts. So you're in the Gryffindor sitting room at this point in time.
See, last time you said we were in a room like Hogwarts, it was the banquet room, and that didn't end very well.
Yeah, this whole place is similar to Hogwarts.
Right.
Because I have no imagination. But you are sitting in like the sitting room. There's reading areas. There's a rug on the floor. There's a hearth with a couch in front of it. And there's a set of stairs leading upwards. You can also see just next to the door, there's a little podium. And on it, there is a book, almost like a sign-in register.
It's going to sort us into houses.
Come on, the book will give us some clues for sure.
I'm in Flufflepuff.
I love that. I really love that. You go and have T-shirt a look. There. You go and have a look at the book, and it seems to be like a guest registry, identifying which rooms are available. Currently, the registry lists 9 rooms. Weirdly, though, kind of as you're looking at them, you see a room 8, and you see a room 8A in there, which is kind of weird. But at the top of the page, written in delicate penmanship and in red ink, Arliss Hall values your privacy. Simply lock your door and we will see to it that you are not disturbed. And above 8A is a sign that says, that is marked, reserved, dash, do not use.
So is there like the names written next to the rooms?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
All the way up to 8 and then 8A.
But are there names written next to them or not?
No.
Okay.
As in like people inside them?
Yeah.
No, this is more just a registry of what rooms there are.
All right. I'm going to write Miles McCarthy next to room 8A reserved.
Yeah.
Nothing happened?
No.
Crichton did say that the room would be in plain sight. It would be reserved and it would be a private room. So 8A is a very good suspect for meeting all of those criteria.
So that's I thought it might have been some sort of like you assign, like, you know, you check in, takes you to your room, some sort of magic thing.
Interesting.
Let you know. Was it worth a try?
Not everything's magic.
We're in a fucking ever-changing tower. Like,
well, apparently magnets are.
Everything can be magnetism.
Look, my theory was it was like calling an elevator down. You put yourself in and then next door we open.
It makes perfect sense to me.
It does.
Yeah, it actually makes perfect sense, but it's not, unfortunately, how this works. What are you going
to
do?
Tia hears the story and starts walking up the stairs.
Tia moves up to the top of the stairs. The top of the stairs, if you look at the way that the balustrade at the top comes up onto the right-hand side. So, it kind of is in the right-hand corner of this room. Tia has the ability to move left or right.
As she looks down, is there anything unique about the view on the ground floor looking down from the top?
Okay. Have you seen the-
Harry Potter?
No. I was going to say The Last Crusade. You see a letter on the floor, obviously.
Very dangerous. Yeah.
No. You look back down and the floor is as it is. The right. Weirdest thing in there is probably Flopsy.
Right.
Yeah. On the other side, though, there's a window that you can see, like a little courtyard with a well. It's actually quite nice, paved little garden, very neat. There's some benches out there that you could go for a little walk, like a little courtyard just for the people that live here that's fenced off. A secret garden. It's downstairs, but there's no apparent way of getting out there. Anyway, you can smash go left finger. And right inside.
Come. We must move on. Time is of the essence.
Let's do it.
Come to the right.
Okay.
Heal that up.
Okay. So you move to the right. In the right-hand corridor, essentially this whole building is almost H-shaped, like a capital H, but the very bottom void of that capital H is that little entryway that you've got. And the upstairs has the little bar connecting the two sides of the H is the corridor. And then you've got two corridors that are- Does that make sense? Yeah, looks like a TIE fighter.
It's a clumsy metaphor, but it works.
Yeah, it's a TIE fighter. The wings of the TIE fighter are where the rooms are. So you move to the right.
Hang there on, what? TIE fighter's wings have got rooms in it.
1, 2, 3, 4. That's right. That's. There are.
Not for us, fatties.
There are 4 rooms on this side.
Okay, where's the nearest door?
Straight ahead of you.
Are any of them labeled?
Yes.
We go to 8A.
So.
Can we find 8A?
Yeah. Ironically, I just want to point this out. From a game perspective, running it as a game master, you've got 8A, right?
Yeah.
We talk about that. But what do? They name the hall F1, F2, F3.
F you, I think is what they're
this
saying.
This could have been so much easier. Eventually, you move to the left-hand side and you find room number 8, which is in the bottom corner.
Left or right corner?
It's in the very, it's on the entryway side.
Sorry, should I say east or west corner?
It's in the bottom left of the H.
All right.
Is there an 8A?
No, just an 8. There are only 4 doors on this side as well. They are named 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Little problem. It is not obvious.
Maybe A is inside 8.
Sure. Let's have a look.
Because that was the only 8.
Hold on a second.
A.
What if we scratched out reserve downstairs? Would it appear?
What if we put an A next to the door sign?
Interesting, but I always like my idea better.
We go in.
You walk in, you open the door to the room?
Yep.
Yep. You walk inside of the room, you see a lovely, well appointed 20 foot by 20 foot chamber. It's got a double bed in it. There's a little bedside like cupboard. There's a chamber pot in one corner. In the other corner, there's a little desk that is like a sitting desk and a large mirror, a dressing mirror right next to it with a like cupboard.
Let's go. I run at the mirror.
Just everyone make a perception check.
Where'd you get 16?
Mm-hmm.
Can't see past here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see past whoever's in front of
Reg, ironically. Reg.
Ironically.
4.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. So you see your mirror.
Run, Miles. Run.
Running. Run at the mirror.
You run at the mirror.
Yep.
Make a strength check.
16.
The mirror shatters into hundreds of pieces. It smashes into the wall and the whole mirror just crashes to the floor, broken into piece after piece after piece.
What? Not this one.
Nope. Not this one.
Should we try my idea now? Go down and rub out the reserved sign and see if 8A turns up.
Shall we just check this place over quickly first while we're here?
Reggie's going to run down to the reserved sign.
Okay. Reggie, as you go to the door, you kind of go to open the door and you're like, oh, it's locked. So you use the key and you open the door and then you go down. It just locks behind it.
Oh. We've just split the party in a magical place that changes.
I will continue on down as I was intending.
Yeah.
Flopsy's going to get halfway to be a relay in the voice of, has that worked? Has that not worked?
Again, you have to unlock the door. It's like, Reggie just shut the door and you're like, and oh, have to unlock the door. Yeah, use the key.
Does the key come out?
Unlock the door. No, the key kind of is
stuck in the door
mm. itself. So, Reggie, you run down. Yep. What are you doing at
rubbing
the register?
Out the reserved or trying to scratch out the reserved.
So, you rub one out down there.
Yes, and that's right.
Yeah, take the reserve sign off.
That's right.
So, you scratch out.
It was a private room.
You scratch out the reserve sign. Then what are you doing?
I'm going to head back up.
Okay, you head back up seeing Floxy, Flopsy on the landing.
Looking for a door appearing as Reggie does that.
No, there's no. You don't see anything change. You don't see anything.
It's interesting.
I was convinced, Flopsy, that was going to work.
And now those pages down there are stuck together.
On the wall.
Some Michael Jackson album.
That's some monk shit you did.
I got my climbing boots on.
All right, ideas.
Yeah, so what are you going to do? So you move
You're
up.
The ideas guy, Flopsy. Yeah. What are you
so Flopsy,
about?
You don't see-
A coin for ideas.
You don't see anything different, so you're just standing out there, the door's shut.
Private room, reserved, hidden in plain sight. I wonder if in door 8 there's something to do with the key. If you turn it the other way, maybe it opens up 8A. Let's try it. Walk in.
Okay, you open the door and you see a 20 foot by 20 foot room with a bed, a sideboard, a little chamber pot in the corner. There's a little sitting desk in one part. There's a full sized mirror and a wardrobe. But there is no Miles and there is no Tia.
Going to go and explore the mirror.
Okay, you look at the mirror.
If I put my hand through?
Flopsy, you've got this weird arcane sense,
yeah.
don't you?
Yeah, I do.
It radiates pretty strong magic.
I think we found it, Reginald.
Where are the other two?
They must have found it earlier, or perhaps it's a magic door. You open it once, 8. Open it again, 8A. Open it again, 8B. We've got to go through the alphabet.
We haven't got the time for that.
It's only 26.
Yeah, I'm counting.
Is there only 26 letters in the alphabet?
Well, it depends on whether you're looking at the Greek or the Latin or the...
The what? You
know, well, as many schools of thought. I think I picked up a book on it. Hold on one second. Let me pull it out here. There's a lovely bed here. We can sit down and there's full discourse on the...
Let's try and find the others. Let's do it.
Ah, right. Well, you...
No. Let's dedicate a flopsy.
Open the door. We'll go out and then we'll come back in and hopefully they're back in this room.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
We do that.
Mm-hmm. You, again, you get to the door, you open it, you go out. You stand on it, you shut it behind you, you open it back up again. 20 foot by 20 foot room.
The good room with the mirror intact.
Mirror intact.
I think you need to go down and write reserved back on that door so it disappears. We let them out. We rub reserved out again and then open the door back up. That's the only thing that's changed.
Right. I'll run down.
If only they'd listened.
Rub one out and write reserved.
Yep.
And
then have a big back. Drink.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, some I'm oysters. Searching the room I'm in.
Yep.
Searching the cupboard.
Yeah.
Did you write reserved? Doors. I'll open the door.
Imagine.
I think I spelled it right.
For Miles, imagine no it, like a hotel room. Like it's pretty, it's empty, but there's empty coat hangers where you would put stuff. There's places like, a sitting desk. There's nothing personal like and someone lives in here. Okay. You rub reserved out.
No, I've written reserved.
He's written
back
reserved
in.
You've and written he reserved calls in. Up to me and I open the door again.
Okay, you open the door.
Can I see Tia and...
You certainly cannot, but you can see an intact mirror.
Didn't work. It's problematic.
Oh, no.
Seems like it's just us two again. Back to where we started, old friend. Easy come, easy go, so they say.
Hang on. So did you turn a key a specific way before you got to the other room?
Mm. Yes, I did.
Did you turn the key the specific way this time?
Oh, I always turn the key this way. It's part of my OCD-ness.
What if you do the reverse?
He has to turn it 16 times.
What if you did the reverse of what you did? Would it take us back to the... Have you tried that?
Flopsy tries opening the door in reverse, which I think is closing the door.
No, as in like you turn the key a certain way.
Can yeah,
you
no, it doesn't turn the other way. I think.
There is no key.
What? This room's well fucked up.
You
there's no key to get
to.
Out.
I thought there was a lock.
Not on this one. It's not locked from the inside, nor is there a key.
If only there was a way to talk to those other two and tell them to leave.
You're the one with the arcane arts.
Yes.
Did you say arts?
Interesting. I'm just not sure I'm willing to waste any of my valuable spells on this outcome. You think it's worth it?
Well, yeah, all up about 2 or 3 minutes have passed. So if you did have any spells that lasted that long.
Flopsy's going to pull out one of his cantrips, Ghost okay. Sound,
mm-hmm.
which can make a very loud noise.
Yeah.
And he's going to use it to yell out in the sound of what I think is like 10 people, uh-huh. I think is the sound of it all yelling together.
Sure.
Maybe it's more. Open the door and step out, you fools, you fools.
Mm-hmm. Fools, fools.
No one's appearing. We should probably shut the door and let them open it on the other, like it's a duplex door, right? Let's stand on the outside, shut the door, wait for them to leave. They're not leaving. Idiots.
Fuck, I love Flopsy.
What do you think? Head on up.
I let's go through the mirror.
Like, yeah, fuck Lindsay.
No, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out.
Fuck Miles and his extra XP. We'll finish it without him.
Time was pressing, right?
Exactly. They'll figure right. it out.
I am a little concerned going up there without Tia. She was formidable.
Thanks, Flopsy.
It's just that she did your kind of damage in one round where it would take you a minute. That's all.
Back inside the room, Miles and Tia Tia, what are you up to inside the room?
Tia's standing guard, watching over Miles, making sure nothing's coming out of the broken pieces of mirror. Mm-hmm. She's seen where mirror wisps come out and blow up and stuff, and it looked like that mirror shard, and she's not trusting it.
Okay, and Miles has probably searched the room three times over by now and found nothing.
It is not going to fit you. Those leggings are too small.
They're called fishnets.
It's astounding.
I don't know where they've gone. I don't know. I can't see anything. Shall we go see what those guys are?
Whatever you think is right, I think is a good idea.
I mean, yeah, I've got nothing in here.
We should go together.
Let's go.
Take a jump to the left.
And then we'll step to the right. I open the door.
Okay, door's locked. You have to turn the key.
Unlock the door.
Okay, you unlock the door and open it. At this point, outside, you see the door open. And you see Miles on the other side of the door, and Tia.
Obviously, that ghost sound worked. Come on, step out. We found A. Where have you been?
Get out of here. Let's go.
Come on.
Just get out. Just get out. Just get out.
Okay, fine.
Stay together.
Yep.
Shut the door.
Okay.
Shut the door.
Okay. You open the door again. On the other side of the door, you see a 20-foot room with a double bed in it. There's a bedside table, a little desk.
And a smashed mirror.
Broken mirror.
Everything's tossed everywhere.
Wait, everything's tossed.
Look. Wait here.
Everything around here is tossed.
Can I expedite this?
Including Reg.
Miles, you have an idea? Because we had been in 8A, but you guys weren't with us. We had to leave 8A to come back here.
So, same room, right?
Yes.
But it only worked when we were in there.
No, it worked when old mate here rubbed reserved out to give us access to the door.
Could it be when the door is locked? Because we have to unlock the door to get out.
What?
So whenever we leave this room, you had to unlock the door.
Yes.
And then when it closed, it relocked itself, right?
Yes.
What if the door has to be locked?
So you think the door's open now?
No.
So the door's open now so we can get in.
Is there a way to lock the door and then close it? From the outside?
Hang on. Right.
Okay, you three go out. I go inside the room, shut it, lock the door.
Inside the room, you see a 20-foot space. You see a bed, a bedside table. I mean, the light through the window is beautiful at this time. You can see the shattered remains of most of the grounds. Smoke pluming, blood probably splattered on the lawn. Anyway, yes. Yeah, so you go in the shattered room with the mirror. And you lock the door?
Yep.
Okay.
And then Flopsy opens the door after he hears a click.
20-foot room, bed, intact mirror.
Shuts the door.
Shuts the door.
Knocks twice.
Do I hear the knock?
What knock?
I wait 5 minutes and then I unlock the door.
5 fucking minutes?
Yeah.
Just everybody's just sitting there quietly. Just giving Reg some time to recharge.
I think he's
or
dead.
Or Reg charge.
I think he's dead. I think we should move on. It's been way too long. No one in their right mind would wait this long.
He's gonna
this
get
is to, way too bloody long.
He's got to get to the Reggie 3.
Unlock the door. Yep. So, did
what
it work?
The fuck were you doing?
I was waiting for you to send me some sort of sign that it worked.
Right.
So it worked?
Yes, it did. Okay. Correct. Now,
everyone make note that I am smarter than Flopsy.
Fuck.
Now, do I think my... I've forgotten his name.
He's on your character
Ambush?
Sheet.
No.
Ravage.
Ravage. No.
No, or the insect.
Seaweed.
Do I think my dragonfly could lock a door?
Flufflepuff.
Could lock a door?
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't have the ability to turn it because it's so small it would need purchase. I think like, you know, it's one of those 5-poundery kind of like mage hand and the door
Tippy?
Seems a
no,
bit
No, that was
more
the bird.
That.
The bird was Tippy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Ravage.
Ravage is the name of the cat in Transformers.
Yeah, Ravage and Rumble, but I'm sure that you called it.
No, I called it something else. Oh. I'll remember
later.
I've
got it written down somewhere. I mean, it's your character, Lindsay. It's probably dead, actually, if you can't remember its name.
Is there a lock mechanism on the outside, Justin, that we can see?
Nope.
Okay, so one of us has to stay inside. Yeah? Do you want me to try sending in Dragon Boy?
No, haven't you got a... Who's got summon dogs?
I have summon dog, yeah. It lasts one round.
We'll be real quick.
Okay, let's do it.
That's what you said when you went downstairs to rub out reserve.
And I was real quick. I wasn't like it took 5 minutes like some people.
I
want to change your pants?
Get my wand of monster summon out.
Yep.
Summon a dog inside the room.
Yeah.
Shut the door.
Yeah.
Open the door.
There's a dog there.
Not for long.
Right. I thought that would have worked.
Remember how they said we've got to work together?
Yes.
It doesn't feel like that. Let's think about how we might do this together.
We all hold the door handle at the same time. Everybody's hands on the knob.
I'm feeling a theme with you today, Richie.
You look dehydrated.
Very relaxed.
And tired.
Calluses on one hand. From training.
Giggity, giggity. You all hold the doorknob and you turn it and open the door. Broken mirror.
And a dog. Or is that gone now?
It's gone.
Can I suggest time's of the essence? One of us needs to stay behind while the other three move up and then we can figure it out from there.
Who is the least effective in this party?
I have very few spells left.
Me too, but I have sleeping.
I do not.
So you would like to stay here?
No, there's magic afoot and I'd love to see it, but Sky Key and all, but it would seem, logically, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
I'll stay behind.
Oh, no.
Like you said, Tia's a big hitter.
You have skills that none of us have. The healing arts, the divine arts. If there's a divine incursion up there, only you can do that. Miles can, just as well as I, see the magical and arcane stuff. Tia needs to go to save you both from your inevitable death.
Why don't we try and take the key out?
Doesn't remove.
There isn't a key, is there? Where is there a key?
There is no key. I forgot to do something. Lindsay, can you roll me a perception check?
I have the key. 4 miles.
7.
Carry on. So tell me what you know. Let's go through this as D&D. I was very, very concerned because I find D&D puzzles really an interesting thing because sometimes you blitz through them. Sometimes they're just so weirdly put together that there's an assumed knowledge that the players don't have.
Is there some a window?
That happened. Yeah, there's a window in there.
I go in and try and open the window.
Yeah, the window opens.
Get out the window.
You look out the window onto, so you're on the second story, but you can look out over the Grand Lodge grounds where the smoke and the dragons and the...
Is there no ledge or anything out there? I can...
There's like a window sill.
If you had spider climb boots, for example, could you get to room 7?
Yeah. You could climb. Yeah, it's totally doable to climb. It's not easy, but it's doable.
Let me just try something. I go in.
Yep.
Shut the door.
Yep.
Lock it.
Yep.
Go out the window with my spider climb boots.
Yep.
To the next window.
Yep.
Open the window.
The window's locked.
I smash it.
No. Yep.
Climb through the window.
That's being an asshole.
I know you were.
You open. Yep. You go into the room.
Go out that door.
Yep. And you see your party. The rest of the party outside on the
Very well done, Miles. You know that time before you said you were smarter than me?
Hmm?
Almost.
Hmm.
Yeah. Let's go.
Let's go.
Just for, can you do a perception check for me?
17.
Ooh.
Carry on.
Fuck. Open the door, in we go.
You open the door. You find a 20-foot room. You find a bed. A window that I should have mentioned many times. Bedside cabinet. Cupboard. Chamber pot. Little desk.
You give us this and see you next week. Fucking at the end of this list.
And I'll wait till next week. And an intact mirror. But we will definitely see you next week.
Well done, Linz. Good pick up.
Yeah.
Good pick up.
Yeah, it's very interesting doing this because like, as a GM, I go, they're either going to blitz through this, they're not going to understand, it's going to get frustrated, I'm going to have to give them, like, the amount of times we've played together, it's like, here's a puzzle, and everyone's going, this is fucked, we don't get it. You guys went through that brilliantly. I'm really proud of how, like, it took a little bit of time, there are a few little loose ends, but that was probably the best way you could do. The only other thing you could have done is found the secret door, but you didn't. But yeah, that was.
That works.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's escape room outcome.
101. Really well done. Really well done. Okay.